Before I get into my lesson, I'd like, after hearing what Mark had to say, I'd like to thank the elders for the decision that they made. I agree 100%. And so, that being said, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. After seeing the news this morning, I think it might be true. They showed a man in a hazmat suit standing on the corner of the street in California, waving this roll of toilet paper and offering to sell it for $100. And he had a taker. And so this news reporter interviewed him, and he says, the man in the hazmat suit was questioned, why are you doing this? He says, because things have gotten so ridiculous. He says, I'm trying to make people think and have rational thought. And he did sell one roll, and they interviewed the people that bought it, and they said, well, it sounds like a bargain. I can at least get a roll of toilet paper. And they weren't serious about that, but the man was going to donate the money to charity. But we are in a very strange time in world history. And some of you, I've heard, have had trouble finding toilet paper in the last day or two, and I just wanted Marty to know he has now been told what the going price is if he still wants the bag that Joyce got for him. I've seen and heard things in the last week that I never thought I'd ever hear about in my life. And we are in a world where we really don't know what is next. In James, the fourth chapter, verses 13 and 15, it reads this way. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Whatever happens, we need to keep in mind we are not in control. Lord willing, we pray for the things we feel that we need to happen. But in the end, it's whatever the Lord's will is. In the last 2 years, every time I have been on to speak, I have changed my topic. I was scheduled 2 weeks ago when Mark covered for me when I became ill. And so my talk has changed. My talk was exposed to the coronavirus, and it's now in quarantine, so I can't use that talk until it gets out. So in the last 2 years, a lot has changed for me, especially my health. Each time I'm on to speak, as I'm trying to prepare, I ask myself, is this my last lesson? Because I have had things presented to me that make me be reminded of how little control I have over things at this point in my life. Is this my last opportunity to be up here? And I'm not sure I remember correctly, but I believe Bob Flack was still on the program when things changed for Bob. We just don't know. with the problem that developed with me last fall with my hearing, which I still have, I may already be done leading songs. And I'm glad 2019 is over. I started out with complications from both of my knee replacements. And with my work, it was almost the wettest year in recorded history. And it created a new weather crisis for me every other week. And then on December 30th, my doctor told me I needed to go through tests to determine if I had a brain tumor. And thank God I didn't have a brain tumor, but they don't know what's wrong. So woe is me. And now that I think about it and I look back over the last 2 years, it seems like almost every talk I gave, I've talked about some crisis. That's life, as dealing with problems and trusting that the Lord will make a way for you. This past week may prove to be the most historical week ever in our lifetimes. The World Health Organization declared a worldwide pandemic. Our president declared a national emergency. Almost every sporting event in the world has been canceled or closed to public attendance. They had reruns on yesterday of years past on basketball games because today was supposed to be Selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament. No need for that. We have had both record losses and record gains in the stock market in the same week. China, Iran, all European countries, and many others have been banned from entering the United States. The cruise ship industry in 30 days has gone to near shutdown and bankruptcy. Several countries have closed their borders and required businesses to close. Spain, Italy, and France have gone into total shutdown. Disneyland, Disney World, Universal Studios are closed. Broadway shows have been canceled. And on the news this morning, there was a continuous scroll of canceled church services and churches that would only have online services today. Thank God we are able to be here. I appreciate it. Last night, the governor announced, or maybe it was this morning, I don't know which now. Things are happening so fast. But she said that she didn't want to see any people to consider changing their plans not to have any groups of over 250 people. And this morning, they announced somebody in Dallas County has now showed up with the virus where I've been working. And not in the exact area I've been working. I hope they weren't there. But I cherish our fellowship. I cherish our assembly, and am reminded of David's writings where he said, I was glad when it was said, let's go to the house of the Lord. That's where I get renewed. I do not fear meeting here today. My soul and I benefit much more from being here than sitting at home. Worrying about my physical body dying, which it's going to do anyway. I am more concerned about my spiritual well-being. The stock market hates uncertainty. Everybody wants to save their retirement fund. They're worried about their 401k. People are anguishing over it. They're losing sleep over it. But yet, they worry about losing their physical retirement, but they won't read their Bible enough to save their own soul. I hope that's not you. Do you know more about retirement than you do about living? The only retirement that I feel is important to me is my soul's retirement. That I take care of it. I've never really planned on physically retiring. I've never worried about it. I've been hoping that it will, my body will hold on and my mind will stay put enough that I can please the Lord to get retirement for my soul. That is the retirement I'm hoping for. But people are scared. They want to know what's going to happen. And yesterday it made me think of this song from the 1960s, and I have no clue why, other than I asked the Lord to help me put these thoughts together, and I believe that he had to help dig that out of my memory bank, because otherwise I'd have never thought of this song. But it was from the 1960s, it was sang by Doris Day, and I had Rodney and Joyce look it up online for me. Called Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que Sera, Sera. And through this song, the singer, when she was a child, says, I asked my mother, will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que Sera, Sera. And so is the attitude that we should consider at this time when there is so much change taking place we have no control over. Control the things you can. And Que Sera, Sera. Put it in the Lord's hands instead of worrying about it during the night when you should be asleep. The song is correct in that the Lord's will be done, whether we like it or not. But we do have the ability to affect our future with our choices. We do impact our life and how it will turn out, how it will be for us. By making the right choices. And remember in times like these, Philippians 2nd chapter verse 12 tells us to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It seems as though with the atmosphere today, people have changed the wording of that verse to seek out your own 401k with fear and trembling. We live in a dangerous time, so do the common sense things and don't worry about what you can't change. So remember three things. Trust in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Trust in Him. Otherwise, put a little trust in Lysol and Pyrex as well. A man was boarding a cruise ship that was interviewed on the news last night, and the ship wasn't even going to be half full. And the interviewer asked him, aren't you scared to get on that cruise ship? And he says, no. He says, I have my life to live. I will not let this panic take away my life. Our country experienced a financial collapse in 1929 that led to the Great Depression. I never lived through it, but my parents and my grandparents did. I learned from their survival of those times. And to live through that time was beyond hard. We have this book at home. I don't know if you can read the title. When the banks closed, we opened our hearts. And this book is filled with stories of people that lived through the Depression and survived it, and told about people growing up today can't even relate to that statement or that title on that book, "When the Banks Closed." They've never seen that. Well, when the Depression hit, banks closed and your money was gone. All you had was your neighbors to find a way to survive those times. And what those difficult times did in that Great Depression was prepare those people that survived it to become the greatest generation of all time and defeat one of the biggest evils that ever existed in this world, and Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, and the Japanese emperor. Because had we lost that battle, had we lost that war, Christianity would have been quenched in many areas to the degree it is unlikely that this Pleasant Hill Church of Christ building would have ever been built, or any other church after those dictators would have taken over. If there was anyone left from our ancestors that taught us the Bible, the reason that we are here today, if they still claimed to be Christians when these emperors would have taken over, they most likely would have been executed if they wanted to uphold their faith. So there would there have been anybody left to have ever told us what the Bible was? Thank God today in your prayers that the greatest generation survived the hardships of the Depression and the evil of World War II. There's a man on cable TV named Jim Cramer. I think his show is called Mad Money or something like that. But he was on a clip over the weekend saying that we had just endured the most volatile week in financial history in the United States. We had record losses and record gains in the same week. That has never happened before. So people are worried about their health. They are worried about their jobs, their 401k, their money. And I have not yet figured out why they're worried about toilet paper, but they are. Hand sanitizers are sold out. They're worried about not enough virus test kits to go around. And they showed a clip of a man in Australia that was on a bus, and a woman in the seat next to him coughed, and he got all upset because she had violated his space and coughed into his space. So whether it's a good idea or not is debatable, but I have all of my money in stock. All of it. So how do you think I feel? And all my money is in this corporation. It's called Dave's Dozing. It's no longer on the New York Stock Exchange. Oh, I'm sorry. It never was on the New York Stock Exchange. 20 years ago, a woman asked me, said, Dave's Dozing. If I hire you, does that mean that you're going to be asleep on the job? And I said, that's not the kind of dozing that I'm doing. And so just last week, I was meeting with an NRCS official that works for Polk County. And he was showing me a job, and we like to harass each other as much as we can. And so he asked me last week when we was at this job, he says, "Dozer Dave, do you even own a dozer anymore?" I said, "Well, I own a crawler loader. It's got a bucket instead of a dozer blade." He said, "That doesn't count." I said, "Well, four of my excavators have dozer blades." He says, "They're excavators. They don't count either." He says, "You have to find a different nickname because you're misrepresenting who you are." So he says, "We've got to get you a new nickname." And he says, We could call you Engel the Excavator, or Excavator Engel, or the Muck Truck Mudder. And so it made me think while I was putting this talk together, what about us as Christians? Can anyone claim that we are misrepresenting who we are? Can the world tell by our lives, can the world tell by our language that we are Christ-like? Everyday life experiences that people have with you is shaping their opinion of you. Who you are and what you stand for, if you stand for anything. We don't get to pick and choose which experiences they will use to form their profile of you. So we need to attempt to make all those experiences, all those conversations we have with others, good ones. Good ones for them to remember. 45 years ago, I was 20 years old. I had been blessed to spend 4 years working with our brother in Christ, Larry George. And for a long time, I not only worked 40 or more hours a week with Larry, Joyce and I lived in the trailer court on the south end of Pleasant Hill. Larry would come in from Prairie City. He would drive down and pick me up, take me to work, and he would bring me back home because Joyce and I only had one vehicle. And if I drove to work, she didn't have any way to go anywhere. And so Larry offered to do this so Joyce could have a car. That made a good impression on me. At 20 years old, I was at an age trying to figure out life, and everyone made an impression on me, some good, some bad. Spending that much time together with Larry, we got to see each other's good sides, good points, and we got to see each other's weaknesses. I saw Larry go through some difficult times, and Larry struggled, as every one of us do with our challenges we're given in life. And I know when he got through with those struggles that he asked the Lord forgiveness. And the Lord remembers him no more, and neither do I. But let me tell you what I do remember. Larry ran the machine shop, and I ran the weld shop. And we interacted with a lot of customers and a lot of salesmen. And one day someone came in, and they used some words that Larry didn't like. And Larry told him what he thought. Larry said, "Mister, you just had something come out of your mouth that I won't hold in my hand." And that made a big impression on me. And 45 years later, I still remember it. Larry took hold of an opportunity instead of letting it pass, letting it slide. And he stood up for how he wanted language to be conducted in his shop. Larry made an impression, both on that man that spoke the words and on me. Larry liked catchy phrases, and I certainly can't remember them all. When you'd see him in the morning and ask him how he was, what's one of the things he would say, Kelly? How are you, Larry? I'm finer than frog's hair. Wasn't it something like that? That was one of his sayings. And the next day he might tell you, "I'm better than most and worse than others." And if you stop and think about that, that fits each and every one of us every day. there is always somebody that's better off than you are, and there's always somebody that's had a worse day than you have. One of Larry's talks he gave over 40 years ago, I still remember, and I have mentioned it before. The title of that talk that Larry gave that day was, "If you don't feel as close to God as you used to, guess who left?" That made an impression on me. If you don't feel as close to God as you once did, guess who left? And I can still hear Larry's prayer when he would get up here. He'd say, "Good morning, Lord. We thank you that things are as well with us as they are." Do you remember that phrase? He often included that in a lot of his prayers. "Forget the problems I got. Thank you, Lord, that things are as good as they are." We need to concentrate on phrases like that. Today, I can't remember what I walked into the other room to get when I get there. But Larry made an impression on me. I can still remember what he said 45 years ago. Larry made an impression. And I'm messing. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." As we leave here, keep the faith. Que sera, sera. If we can help you improve your relationship with the Lord, we give you this opportunity as we stand and sing.